Amen. This evening we continue in our series in Deuteronomy. Our reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. Where, led by God's Spirit, God's servant Moses proclaimed to Israel these words of the living God. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the flock, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. He shall bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. So far, the reading of God's holy word. To his name be praise and glory. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. As we look into your life-giving word this night, we pray that you will cleanse our hearts by the inspiration of your Spirit, that as we prepare to feast upon the body and blood of your dear Son, we may grow in perfectly loving you and worthily magnifying your holy name. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, it's football season. Did you know that? It's football season. And it's even starting to feel a little bit like football season. And in football, you know, sometimes a receiver or a running back or a punt returner will get the ball and they'll break away from the pack and they will look like they're going to score a touchdown, but then someone very fleet of foot will overtake them and bring them down and prevent them from crossing the goal line. And that's typically how that term overtaken is used, isn't it? When an opponent, an adversary, a foe catches up with their challenger, their opponent, their rival, and brings them down, subdues them. And that's how it's almost always used in Scripture, this term overtaken. The Hebrew word that's translated as overtaken in our text. It's almost always used in that kind of way, such as in Psalm 18:37, where King David said, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, and I did not turn back until they were consumed. Or in Psalm 40 and verse 12, where David said, evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Or in Job 3:25, where Job said, the thing I feared has overtaken me, and what I dreaded has befallen me. Or as Moses himself will go on to say in this very sermon, in verse 15 of chapter 28, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all the commands that he has commanded you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. So this idea of something or someone overtaking another is almost always used in a negative sense. The study I did on this word, I couldn't find a place in Scripture, certainly not in the Old Testament, where the Hebrew word as translated as overtaken here is used in a positive sense. Almost always is used in a negative sense. But here in our passage this evening, God does something shocking. He likes to use words that we wouldn't think about in a certain context, words that surprise us, that shock us. Here, God, in this passage, speaking through Moses, uses this word overtaken in a positive sense. He spoke of blessings overtaking his people. Not enemies, not evils, not locusts, not curses, but blessings. Somebody walking in had been reading the passage evidently before. I guess you're allowed to do that, you know, cheat a little bit, read the passage before it's preached on. And they said, I've brought my bucket, a big bucket for blessings. Well, that's what God was saying to his people here. You better have a big bucket. Because if you will follow me, you're not going to be able to contain the blessings. I'm going to open up the treasury, heaven itself, and rain down on you blessings you're not going to be able to take in. The question is, do you have the faith and the desire to receive them? So God, shockingly here, says to his people, I'm going to pour out blessings on you. So let's consider how it was that blessings would overtake Israel, and then by way of application, how blessings have overtaken us as God's people today. First, what Moses told Israel concerning how they could be overtaken by blessings, engulfed by blessings, overwhelmed, showered, taken by surprise, by swarmed inescapably by blessings. The way in which Israel could experience this avalanche of blessings was through obedience. Through obedience. God said, faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, and blessings will come upon you and overtake you. You won't be able to get away from the blessings. You may remember a president in a galaxy far, far away who promised us we were going to win so much we're going to get tired of winning. Remember that? You get tired of winning. That's what God was talking about here. There's going to be so many blessings, if it were possible, you're going to get tired of blessing upon blessing upon blessing. You won't be able to take it in. And this kind of blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience language was typical for ancient Near Eastern treaties between kings and their people. This whole section of Deuteronomy, these three sermons that we've looked at in Deuteronomy, have been in the form of an ancient Near Eastern treaty. Often when a king conquered a territory and a people, he would draw up treaties like this one and say, here are my laws. Here are the rules. I'm in charge. Here are the rules by which you must play. These are the terms of our relationship. If you follow them, things will go well for you. If you don't, things could get ugly. But here, God was speaking not to a people that he had conquered and planned to oppress, planned to take advantage of for his own gain. Instead, he was speaking to a people that he loved and whom he had freed and whom he hoped to bless. Not whom he hoped and planned to oppress, but whom he hoped to bless. Notice the blessings that were in store for Israel according to this portion of the treaty. Verse 1, political blessings. God would set them high above the nations of the earth. More powerful, more prosperous. As you know, there are glimpses of this throughout the history of Israel. The Queen of Sheba coming and being amazed by the wealth of Solomon and saying, you know, essentially, your God is for real. This is unlike anything I've ever seen. That was the point. The nations would see Israel and see their prosperity, and they would fear Israel's God. In verse 3, commercial blessings. God would bless them in the city as they traded and did business with one another and built up commerce there. And agricultural blessings. God would bless them in the field. Verse 4, reproductive blessings, both human with the multiplication of Israelites, but also with crops and cattle and herds and flocks. God was going to demonstrate that he, rather than Baal, the Canaanite god of fertility, whom everybody in that region thought, oh, well, he's in charge of fertility. God was going to say, no, he's not. Watch what I will do. It is God, the Lord God of Israel, who opens and closes the womb and who blesses his people with plenty. In verse 5, food would be overflowing. In verse 6, God was saying, you won't be able to get away from blessings. You won't be able to hide from blessings. Blessings going in, blessings coming out, blessings, blessings, blessings. In verse 7, military blessings. No one would be able to stand against Israel. No weapon fashioned against Israel would prosper. Israel would perfectly frustrate, repel, and defeat their enemies. That perfection, that perfect record militarily, if you will, is what is alluded to in the number 7 in verse 7. And the blessings went on and on and on. Basically, verses 8 through 14 repeat in various ways what God foretold in verses 1 through 7. But notice again, and this is the key point, notice again that the full and perpetual experience of being overtaken by those blessings hung on one word. Did you notice? It's actually repeated a number of times through the text, but it's the second word of verse 1, the word if. If. All those blessings hung on one word. If. Everything was riding on that word. If Israel would be careful to do all the commandments God commanded them, then all these blessings would come upon them and overtake them. Of course, we know the rest of the story. Like Paul Harvey would say, we know the rest of the story. Israel failed to keep their part, the if part of the if-then treaty. They failed. And that failure is likely foreshadowed by the fact that Deuteronomy 28 consists of 68 verses. 68 verses. 14 containing blessings and 54 containing curses. This was a law treaty. If you obey, you will be blessed. If you disobey, these curses will befall you. Israel had to keep it perfectly. Those were the stipulations of this treaty. Israel had to keep all the words of God's law if these blessings were going to be fully experienced and perpetually enjoyed. But how about for us today? How do we receive God's blessings? How have God's blessings indeed overtaken us? Well, it's the gospel. It's the gospel, good news. That God sent his son as a substitute for Israel and for us. This is the gospel, using the language of Deuteronomy 28. God sent his son to be the if part of the if-then treaty. God sent his son to be the if part of the if-then treaty for us. Whereas Israel failed to keep God's covenant, just as Adam had failed before them, and just as we have failed after them, God's Son never failed. In the days of his sojourn on this earth, through the wilderness of this world, he faithfully obeyed the voice of the Lord and was careful to do all his commands. Again, notice verse 1. This is what the whole thing hangs on. If you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments. There's only one person who's ever done that. And that's God's Son, who took on our flesh and did this for us in our stead. In John 8:29, Jesus was able to say what neither Adam nor Israel nor any of us can say. He who sent me, that is the Father, is with me and has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Adam couldn't say that. Israel couldn't say that. None of us can say that. That we always do what pleases the Heavenly Father. We want to, as born again believers, but we cannot say in truth that we always do what pleases our Heavenly Father. One day we'll do that when the presence of sin is removed. But Jesus is the only one who could say that. In the days of his sojourn in the wilderness of this world, I always do, moment by moment, day by day, that which pleases my heavenly Father. And so when we believe in Jesus, we step out of the way of the curses we deserve for our disobedience. The curses that he took upon himself on the cross, as Jordan read earlier from Galatians. And we step into the blessings that Jesus deserves for his obedience. So let that sink in, dear Christian. In Christ, you have been overtaken by blessings. You have been overtaken by blessings. Now, the last thing in the world the devil wants you to do is think about that too much. As Christian writer Tommy Newberry likes to say, you know, if you'll think about it in your life, you may have, let's just say, I'm paraphrasing him, of course, you may have a million blessings and 10 really, 10 things that aren't right. Let's say 10 difficulties, 10 challenges, 10 things you really wish you could change. And guess which one we naturally focus on? God wants you to focus on your blessings. I mean, look at what he had to do to give them to you. He sent his son to go through the curses that we deserve in order for us to receive the eternal and indeed many temporal blessings, all of which come to us through the nail-pierced hands of the Savior. Blessings upon blessings upon blessings. In Christ, you and I have been overtaken. We've been tackled wonderfully by blessings. As Kentuckian Thomas Chisholm put it, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. That's the way to live. That's the way to live the Christian life, like that. Awed by these blessings that have overtaken us. As those who have ceased to rely on works of the law. I hope there's nobody here tonight who's relying on the works of the law to be right before God. Please, I'm begging you, repent of that. Repent of it. Turn from it. Do not rely on your goodness or on your supposed righteousness relative to other people and think that's going to get you into heaven. Please repent of it. As one Scottish preacher said, I have taken all my sins and thrown them in a heap, and I've taken all my supposed good works and thrown them in the same heap, and I've fled from them both to Jesus Christ, and in Him I have salvation. Don't rely on works of the law. Please don't listen to me preach through Galatians and then Deuteronomy and leave thinking you can rely on the works, on works of the law, and be saved. Flee to Christ and trust in Him. And when you do, you, like every believer, will be overtaken by innumerable eternal blessings from God. You notice most of the blessings for Israel, they were temporal. They were temporal. And God does love to bestow temporal blessings on His people. I mean, we're here in good enough health to be here tonight. What a blessing. We had cars, presumably, to get here. What a blessing. Money enough to put gas in those cars to get here. What a blessing. If you're joining us online, you're able to join us online. What a blessing. We're all clothed and I think in our right mind. What a blessing. We're here in this beautiful space with people who love us. Children, you're here with parents who brought you and are rearing you in the Lord. What a blessing. Blessings upon blessings. Temporal blessings. We could literally, when we begin to count our many blessings and forget not all His benefits, we could literally be here 24/7, not just a couple hours a week. We could be here 24/7 recounting and rehearsing and retelling and bearing testimony of the blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And that's just the temporal blessings. You know, Elder Dennis Kaczmarski taught on the providence of God, held on from the confession on the doctrine of providence last Sunday. And Joanne had given Dennis and his son and Dennis's grandson, and Joanne had gotten airline tickets for them to fly up to see Dennis's father, who's like 92, so that they could get a picture of the four generations together. I think that was Joanne's gift to Dennis for his birthday. And so they were there over the last few days. Well, while they were there, Dennis's father fell and hit his head. And he's on blood thinner, and so the blood was gushing. But Dennis was there. Dennis was there. Normally, his father would be alone. Dennis and the others were there. And they were able to help him, get him to the hospital. Dennis was there to save the day, as Dennis often is there to save the day, right? And I texted him this afternoon, Joanne was telling me about it, and I texted him, so thankful you were there. So thankful you were able to spend that time with your dad. So thankful you were there. And he said, you know, having just taught on God's providence, I'm just marveling at God's providence in that. These blessings, if you're like Dennis, and you see, you have the eyes to see. We could literally spend every moment of every day thanking God for temporal blessings. And then we get into the eternal blessings. Pardon for sin, a peace that endureth, God's presence, God's adopting love, and all the blessings of the new heavens and the new earth, of which we only know a little bit. And we will spend eternity in fellowship with God, praising Him for these blessings, the cascading blessings. And so, if you are in Jesus, those blessings are all yours. And there is no better reminder of that fact than the meal we are about to receive. And so let us receive it with that heart of thanksgiving to God for overtaking us. Overtaking us. You've been overtaken in a good way with blessings through the grace of His beloved Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.